just after 8 o'clock Sunday morning. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion Vegas Golden Knights. Hope I can say that again in a few months from now with another year tacked on. I am Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. Also here and directly in front of me on your radio dial, producer Chris Magnum Chapman. Aside from producing and appearing on several shows here at Lotus, Chris is also Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room correspondent. And back in studio helping out for the second week in a row after a few months hiatus is sports personality and enthusiast Jose Vellante here working and helping us out. And also, we are streaming live on the LV Sports Network, and you can follow the show on Twitter at @Outofline1340AM. And watch us on Facebook Live. The Facebook page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. The show is live, so your calls and thoughts are welcome. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Couture at the right point. To the left for Burns. He shoots. He scores. Sharks win in overtime. 22 seconds into the extra frame, Burns got it right through Subban's legs. No goals in the last 14 games. Burns wins it with his 14th of the season.
History of this program resonates with me. Like you said, I grew up as a kid. I remember having my UNLV parka that I wore in 7th or 8th grade and shooting some Stacey Augmon fadeaways and Anderson Hunt long-range jump shots. So really was excited, humbled to even be considered, and thrilled to be with you here today.
Today was a little different. You know, we celebrated going to the Final Four. Texas Tech's going to the Final Four. Some of you actually look surprised. Texas Tech's going to the Final Four.
What's on Tap, sponsored by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice. When looking for answers about home financing, check out CardinalFinancial.com. On Tap, we will talk about new UNLV Running Rebel head coach T.J. Otzelberger. The Review Journal's Mark Anderson will be here to break him down with us, talk more about that. We also have the Golden Knights have lost five heading into the last week of the regular season. And a lot to talk about there, as well as it looks like they'll play the team they did last night in the first round of the playoffs. Emily Van Buskirk joins for some in-depth banter about March Madness. And Jim Gemma pops in to fill us in on Aviators baseball and the brand new Las Vegas ballpark, a little over a week away from hosting its first ever game. What's on Tap comes your way thanks to Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out CardinalFinancial.com.
This, if you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. And most know by now the UNLV Running Rebels have a new head basketball coach. This is what UNLV Athletic Director Desiree Reed-Francois had to say about that new coach, T.J. Otzelberger, and what it will take to bring fans back to the Thomas and Mack.
So talking to Desiree Reed-Francois, this has to be a major relief off your back to get this behind you, get it done, and get T.J. hired, right?
It is exhilarating. I'm a little exhausted. I don't really have a voice anymore. I'm really excited about the future, though, of Running Rebel basketball. But it was an exhausting process, but I'm hopeful.
The determining factor. I mean, obviously, it was great because there were so many rumors about different coaches, and they were all off kilter, which you guys did a great job in that. What was the determining factor that brought TJ to you?
His energy, his focus, and his competitive fire. It was something that put him over the top. I had had him on a short list for a number of years, and every athletic director likes to think, we're always recruiting talent, right? And one thing I'd seen TJ, and I knew about his resume. I watched his teams play, South Dakota State play against Ohio State last year in the NCAA tournament. And I thought, that's a fun brand of basketball. I love that up-tempo style. And I was like, I need to do even more. And so I started talking to people about him. And the more research that I did, the more I was like, gosh, there's something really special about him. And then the more we talked throughout this process, and the more I met and spent time with him, the more I thought, man, he's what we need. His energy is infectious. His passion, his drive. I was just so encouraged, and I was so excited, and I just knew he was the guy.
Last question for you. Again, and it's being redundant, but the fans, as you know, that's one of the biggest things is getting that Thomas pack the Mac, is what they've been saying. How is TJ and UNLV basketball going to pack the Mac?
We need to earn our fans back. Just Coach talked about re-recruiting his players. Well, you know, we got to re-recruit our fans, too. I get that. I understand that. And we're going to work really hard to make them proud.
Thank you very much, Desiree. I appreciate you.
Desiree Reed Francois, the athletic director, you know, they're talking about the new hire. South Dakota State, a lot of people haven't heard about him. I definitely think he won the press conference. I was impressed. I think most people there were impressed, and he definitely has a lot of fire in him, and we'll see what happens. Joining the show right now, Mark Anderson from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covering the beat for UNLV football and basketball. Mark, when you heard the announcement that it was going to be TJ Otzelberger as head coach of UNLV Runner Rebels, how surprised? Not surprised?
Well, we came to the actual announcement. I mean, he knew it was coming.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm saying, but when you first realized he was going to be the guy, after all the different names that had popped up over the last 2 weeks, that was one that was under the radar as far as I was concerned.
It was. We had a pretty good idea what direction she was going as far as what kind of coach, a mid-major head coach, sort of up and coming. And so we compiled a list of names, and he was on our initial list of names that she would look at. As far as like this really big list of like 25 to 30 names. But we've actually put a list of names in the paper initially. We didn't include them. Once we narrowed it down, and I got to be honest, I kind of forgot about him. even though I thought about him like right at the very beginning when Marvin Menzies got fired, but then I kind of forgot about him, and I was like thinking, you know, more Mike Rhodes, maybe Nate Oates, and then suddenly Otzelberger's name surfaced probably 2 days before he got hired, and it did. I can't say I was shocked because that's the kind of coach she's looking for, but it wasn't on the top of my mind, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, not disappointed, just surprised. He was under the radar, as I mentioned earlier. What are your likes? I think you'll agree. The press conference was good. Although I thought Marvin Menzies' 3 years ago was kind of exciting. He said it was his dream job and everything else. So a lot of politically correct answers. But what did you think about the beginning of his recruiting process of the UNLV players, which took place to me right there at the press conference?
Well, it was smart, and he knows he's not going to keep them all. I mean, it's, you know, Joel Tomboy is, you know, visiting UConn. Shakir Justin's, you know, is almost certainly gone somewhere, maybe San Diego State. I think Gonzaga might even be looking at him, I'm not sure. But, you know, if he can keep a good chunk, if he can keep especially the key guys, you know, like Amari Hardy, I think, although Tomby would have been pretty key, but Amari Hardy, I think it's got to be recruit number one. It was smart of him to do that, and he began the day before getting in touch with those guys, and he's been every day talking with them. So it's, he's going after them hard, and he has to. He's also recruiting, you know, other people too, you know. You know, they got a junior college guard to put UNLV in the top three yesterday. Committed to him signed South Dakota State, got his release, and now he's looking at UNLV. So, you know, he's not just recruiting his own players, although they're their priority. He's out there looking for other players, too.
He's Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers the UNLV beat for UNLV basketball and football. Joining us today, we're talking about TJ Otzelberger, the new UNLV head coach. And, Mark, in the same time Marvin Menzies was building up a 500 resume here, basically going 500, TJ Otzelberger was at South Dakota State compiling a 70-33 record. Pretty impressive on paper. Mark, what are your personal dislikes and personal likes about this guy initially?
Well, I like that he's got a style that he believes in, and that's what he's recruiting to. He doesn't really have the current roster that will fit that, although he knows he needs to keep all the roster. We already saw with the two players who are looking strong at UNLV that they perfectly fit his system. So he's doing that. I like his energy. I like the fact that he's recruited for Power 5 teams and done well. So it's not like South Dakota State talent's all he knows. He knows what it's like to get talent for the highest levels. The big concern, I think, is he's never tried to really build a program, and that was something Marvin Menzies had over him. Marvin Menzies, that people forget, New Mexico State wasn't all that great, and he built that program up and made it the class of the WAC. T.J. Otzelberger took over South Dakota State program that was already pretty good, had three really good players, including Mike Dom, who's now the three-time Summit League Player of the Year. So it's not that he didn't do a bad job, it's just that he already had a pretty good situation. So can he prove that he can build it up? I think he probably can, but it's something he has to prove.
And, you know, we'll see if he can do it. Again, I like the energy, and that is going to be the question mark. Can he build a program from the ground up? And we definitely know it can be done, as right now in Lubbock, Texas, they're celebrating a guy that built a program from the ground up, kind of, at Texas Tech. And wow, what Chris Beard done is nothing short of miraculous. I think when they hand out the Naismith Coach of the Year, I'll be shocked if Chris Beard doesn't get it, especially after this performance in the first four games of the NCAA tournament. But Mark, I want to ask you, do you believe Otzelberger about not going after any of his recruits at South Dakota State? Because I thought it was very commendable. I thought he answered the question perfectly. But I think when it's all said and done, I think he's going to put in a phone call to you, don't you?
Well, I take him at his word, but let's say David Jenkins, who's the one everyone's speculating, right. If David Jenkins wants to leave, then he'll leave, you know. I don't think he's going to call David Jenkins. I believe him when he says that he will not reach out and recruit any of those players. But if David Jenkins is sitting there and thinking, "Man, I could go play at UNLV and get back in the West," then that's, you know, that I don't see what's stopping him from doing that. So I think he feels a certain loyalty to South Dakota State. They gave him his first head coaching job, and he doesn't want to go in there and start poaching players from their program. But if players want to leave, then that's not his doing.
There may be something underlying there. Like I said, I'll agree with you. I don't know why he would say that if he's going to make the call out there. But, you know, it will be interesting to see as time goes on, especially if more and more UNLV players, current players, bail, you know, and the options become a little bit more limited. You may see that happen. Mark, what are you expecting right off the get-go with this guy? I mean, you heard what Desiree Reed-Francois said about Pack, and as a matter of fact, I'll play right now. Otzelberger, when asked about how he was going to go about recruiting his players at UNLV and how important they were to him, this is what he said at the press conference.
And I've watched a lot of film on each of those guys individually. I've studied their game, their background, their history, know most of their nicknames. So they are absolutely the core of our program, and as we build and move forward, they're the most important thing. And so I want to make sure they know they're the most important thing. I want to make sure that the time I invest in them reflects it. They can help me immensely so I know how things have been going, how we can improve on things. And so I'm going to lean on those guys a lot.
As Mark said, he did a pretty good job with that and talking to them at the press conference. But what are you expecting him out of the gate, and what do you think this team will look like next year? I know a lot depends on who he's going to keep and who he's going to get, but based on what you know.
Well, you're right. I mean, it really comes down to these next two or three weeks, who's going to stay and what players they bring in. It's so hard to say right now. If they can bring back Amari Hardy and a decent chunk of the roster and bring in maybe some older players like if they get that JC guard I mentioned and maybe a four-year guy, you know, to supplement, you know, I think there's no reason why they can't finish right around where they finished this past season in the conference. You know, and it's going to be a harder schedule next season, so the overall win total may not be what everyone wants. But, you know, he's got some work to do to make it, you know, truly a Mountain West contender. I don't really see that happening next season. I think he's going to need 2 or 3 years before he really has a team that can really contend for the top of the league. I just think they're just there's too big a gap right now between UNLV and those other teams, unless he just goes out and brings in a couple big-time guys. But even then, it's going to take time for them to adjust and that sort of thing. But you know, if you have a mass exodus like you had 3 years ago, then you're looking at, you know, something a lot bigger rebuild than that. So it's, you know, I think probably the next 3 weeks would be very telling.
I agree 100%. We're going to also see him putting his staff together, which I think will be key and also something of interest when out there recruiting is who he's going to have helping him out on the bench. And going to be interesting to see a couple years. I just hope, Mark, like I said, when I was one of the few people in town, and you were saying it as well, that Marvin Menzies, you know what? If you get rid of Marvin, make sure you spend the money. They did spend some money, and make sure you get somebody that is going to help put people in the seats at the Thomas and Mack and help turn around this program. I don't know that this is the guy, and the one thing I said I didn't want to see was a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, and I just hope this turns out not to be that for the sake of UNLV and the future of the basketball program, at least the near future. And, you know, we'll see. Like I said, the guy definitely won the press conference, right?
Yeah. Now the real work begins, and he pointed that out himself. That it doesn't really matter what he said, and he said a lot of pretty big things. But what happens now is or results, and so that's ultimately what's going to decide how it goes here.
Yep, here we go. The proof will be in the pudding. He is Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers the beat for UNLV football and basketball. Mark, always love having your analysis on this show, man. Helps us out a great deal. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me on, Brian. Take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Again, Mark Anderson. We will, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Las Vegas Golden Knights' 5-game losing streak. This is the final week of the NHL season. Last night probably is what you're going to see a lot of in the first round of the playoffs. It was exciting. It was fun. It was physical. And I hope that we see exactly that, except a different outcome on the scoreboard of the games than the one that happened last night. Now, Joe Thornton, you don't want to mess with Ryan Reeves at your age. That guy will put you in the convalescence home well before your time. Don't do it. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio in the Cardinal Financial Studios. We'll be right back.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
It's time for Nightcap, Vegas Golden Knights. And Magnum, before we get going, we're going to start off with an interview he did Friday night with Paul Stastny, a guy that was curiously scratched last night against the San Jose Sharks, but going to be, in my opinion, an integral part of the Vegas Golden Knights. If they're going to make any kind of a run, guys like Paul Stastny are going to have to step up, put the puck in the net, make the right passes, and play at both ends of the ice. And this was Chris talking to Paul after the game Friday night.
Paul, what's been going on in these last few first periods? Because you guys seem to be falling behind, and it really seems to take you guys out of your game.
Yeah, just, I don't know, fluky goal, first goal. But I feel like we've been, I don't know, sitting on our heels a little bit, you know? I think almost like waiting for the game to come to us, you know? And maybe we put ourselves in a good position before, so we could do that a little bit. But, you know, we got to change that around and maybe right from the get-go because you know, we got, four games to kind of be where we want to be.
Is it a little bit different because you guys are playing teams that are really playing with desperation? Colorado the other night, Minnesota tonight, really playing for their lives?
Yeah. I mean, human nature will say that, I mean, you want to be playing your best, but, you know, sometimes, you know, if you don't have all 20 guys kind of on the same page, and, you know, and the other team has all 20 guys, obviously they're going to be playing, you know, a bit better than you. So, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it happened to me when I was younger. Sometimes you get kind of a little comfortable a little bit and you get ready for playoffs. But at the same time, we got to know that, you know, we want to hit our peak at playoff. Not, you know, you can't just turn the switch on. And that's the hardest thing to do. And then that's the mentality we got to get out of.
You guys played with a little bit of urgency there in that third period. Did you guys know that Colorado had beaten Arizona? Were you guys unaware of that?
I saw it on the scoreboard there in the corners, but I don't think anyone said anything. No, because I think it was in a shootout or it was in overtime, I think, when we started the period. But nothing was said on the bench. I think, you know, we played the way we want to play. I think if it would have said something, then, you know, I feel like some guys would have shut it down a little bit and kind of played safe a little bit, protecting themselves. But we're going to get back on the winning way.
Paul Stastny, after Friday night's loss to the Minnesota Wild. Five straight now for the Golden Knights. And is there cause for concern? Well, yeah, when a team loses five straight with 1 week to play in the season, there's cause for concern. But like Chris said a little bit ago, I don't think it's something that you really need to over worry about. The Knights, it's going to come down to them picking up their game. You saw it last night. It really looked like a playoff atmosphere last night. You probably saw a preview of what you're going to see. Remember, the Golden Knights did beat the San Jose Sharks in the second round last year, 4-2, so there is that revenge factor. Brett Burns, one of the toughest defensemen and best two-way defensemen in the game of hockey, they're going to have to contend with. A lot of it is going to depend on goaltending for the San Jose Sharks, which has been spotty at times. And, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury will be back between the pipes for the Golden Knights come playoff time in a little less than 2 weeks. And we'll see what happens, man. Can the Golden Knights, the big question, the thing you hear around town, and like we were talking during the break and Jose was saying, you know, that a lot of people around town are talking about the fact that Malcolm Subban hasn't really been playing his best hockey. Well, it's not just him. It's there's guys in front of him that have to pick up their game as well. And I think, again, you'll see Marc-Andre Fleury the majority of time, if not all the time in the postseason. He's going to have to play great. But this is going to be, in my opinion, one of the most exciting first-round matchups we've seen in a long time. These are two teams that are both evenly matched. They both can play a couple of different styles of hockey. And one thing is, they both bring physicality. And, you know, it's funny because last year, even at this time, I don't know that I would have said we want to play a team that's going to be very physical. I think right now the Golden Knights, Chris, are built for physicality and playing against a physical hockey team.
Well, I think we saw some evidence of that last night. Ryan Reeves is going to hurt somebody in that series. I mean,
he loves getting booed. You see how he smiles, he eats it up, man.
The reality is, Joe Thornton is barking up the wrong tree because he will get destroyed if he tries what he did last night.
He won't live to see his grandchildren grow up.
He will be sent into early retirement if he tries what he did last night. I think Evander Kane might be right behind him because Evander Kane is a guy who kind of he reminds me of the. Do you remember the old cartoons with the little dog? Come on, Spike, go beat up the cat. Go beat up the cat, Spike.
A little antagonizer,
and then he runs away.
Yeah.
He will
a crap starter.
Yes, I think we saw last night. These two teams do not like each other. I think there's a lot of animosity between these two teams. I think San Jose realizes that if they lose again to the Golden Knights in the playoffs, that this team will forever be in their head. I think we saw it last night. Ryan Reeves is living rent-free in the head of the San Jose Sharks. The Golden Knights are living rent-free in the heads of San Jose. Vegas didn't need that game last night. San Jose did. They had lost seven straight.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, it was a little bit of luck and flukes that they were able to get the win. If Marc-Andre Fleury's in that game, San Jose doesn't win that game.
I can't disagree with you, and I'll tell you right now.
I think psychologically, San Jose is doubting that they could beat this team.
Well, I was going to say, Chris, and I said earlier, Martin Jones to me is the X factor in the series.
And that's what I don't understand. San Jose, why they did not go out at the trade deadline and get another goaltender. You know, I know someone who covers the team. There's rumors that they may call up their AHL goalie to play in the playoffs because they have no confidence in Aaron Dell and Martin Jones.
Martin Jones
has been pulled, I think, four or five times against the Golden Knights in 12 games. I think Aaron Dell was pulled in one of them. These guys have serious doubts about whether or not they could beat this team. And I think what you saw last night was a team that was trying a different approach. Let's try to get these guys out of their game. Let's play dirty. Let's take some cheap shots. Because we saw Evander Kane doing it. There was no way. You know, he took down Colin Miller. Colin Miller got the penalty right before the end of the game. San Jose started that game on the power play, or started overtime on the power play. The Ryan Reeves 10-minute misconduct, to me, Joe Thornton should have been involved in that as well. You can't jab your stick into the throat of the guy.
I know, bro.
And for the referee, like, the worst part of it is not that Reeves reacted and punched him when the ref was between them, but the ref is grabbing the stick of Joe Thornton watching him get jabbed in the throat. It's like, what are you doing, ref? How do you not?
It almost was like he had a San Jose Sharks T-shirt underneath his striped sweater.
I don't want to go that far. I think that's a reputation call. Joe Thornton's been around a long time. Ryan Reeves is a guy who earned that call. It's ridiculous, but I think that's really what it was.
And hockey's full of reputation calls, Max, probably more than any other sport.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to the series. I don't know for sure, but I think I'll be up in San Jose for at least those first two games, which will be either April 10th or 11th. We don't know yet. They haven't given us a schedule, but I do think I'll be up there, so that'll be a lot of fun for me. I haven't been to a game at the Shark Tank, so I'm looking forward to it.
Gets loud, gets crazy in that place.
I'm sure it does, but I think the Golden Knights can silence them pretty quick too, because I think Vegas has their number. I think the Vegas Golden Knights have much better goaltending, assuming Marc-Andre Fleury is healthy. I think Vegas is built better. I think Mark Stone, he will be a difference maker in that series.
He will.
You know, I think the fourth line for Vegas will be a difference maker as well, because I think Will Carrier, Ryan Reeves, and Pierre-Edward Belmar, I think those guys will do work in that series, and I think San Jose is going to be in for a long, tough, physical series. I would not be surprised if there's some suspensions that are handed out by the NHL to a couple of guys in that series, because remember, Evander Kane was suspended for a game last year against Vegas.
I can't stand him. I hope he never becomes a Golden Knight.
I don't think he will.
Well, I never thought Chris Chelios would become a Detroit Red Wing when he was a Chicago Blackhawk. You just never know. But he's one of those guys, like you said, Chris, he's an antagonizer, an intimidator. And to me, he's kind of the P word, man, because he runs away after he starts his crap. And that's just the bothersome thing.
You know, and the funny thing was when he went by, there was a moment last night in third period where he skates by Ryan Reeves, and Reeves is jawing at him on the bench, and you can see Kane do nothing but skate away. He doesn't.
It's the smartest thing he could do.
He does not
Reeves would kill him.
Yeah. He does not want anything to do with Ryan Reeves. I mean, the reality is Ryan Reeves is the guy that this team brought in for exactly situations like this. And when I hear people, especially in the media, saying, oh, well, they may move him in the offseason, there is no way I'm moving Ryan Reeves.
Gallant loves him. We've talked about it before.
The thing is, you take him off this team, all of a sudden, you give up any advantage you have, because nobody will take a run at
in
one of your guys.
In playoff hockey, you have to have a guy like a Ryan Reeves, like a Tommy Wilson. You have to have these types of players.
He's an insurance policy.
Yes, 100%, that will protect your best players. When you've got guys like William Karlsson, Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, you need a guy out there protecting your best players.
Yep.
And Ryan Reeves is that guy that, like last year, you know, again, one of my favorite things is when Wilson said about the Marchessault. So hit well, you know, it looked like he was enjoying his goal, and Reeves turned right around and said, looked like he was enjoying whatever he did.
Yeah.
And I love that, because players understand that, you know what, if you hit somebody, Reeves might not be on his line, but he is watching everything.
Yep, there is some, and you know what the funny thing is, I think from what I've seen of Mark Stone, I don't think Mark Stone is a fighter. But Mark Stone is definitely not a guy who is going to take any crap
from
anyone on the ice. He is built
like a brick, you know what, house.
And Pacioretty's the same way. Yeah. Pacioretty is not going to tolerate any crap from anybody. You know, he may not fight, but he's not going to let you get away with the little nicks and nacks.
He's probably not going to back down from a fight. Let's put it that way.
No, he definitely won't.
And he will protect, you know, all those guys will protect the players that need protecting, and I love it. And last thing, Chris, is before we go to break, I want to ask you, you know, it's a 5-game losing streak. Again, where I'm not concerned, just like you are. I understand the game of hockey very well. It's a game of streaks, and I think when it comes down to it, the intangible in that first round is going to be goaltending. And as long as you said, Marc-Andre Fleury is healthy, they win that intangible all day long. Martin Jones never has been, never will be, never could be the goaltender that Marc-Andre Fleury is when he's at his best. But I still believe that these last three games are important for them to get some strong confidence going into the postseason. Again, because these three teams are pretty much insignificant in the playoff hunt, as you said, Phoenix is barely alive and hanging on, but you don't want to lose any more games, especially to three teams you can beat and say, well, these games didn't matter anyways. I don't think you can look at it like that. I think you do want to go in winning into the postseason.
Yeah, but I also don't think they're worried about it. I think they're using this opportunity to get healthy, as we saw last night, right? Yep. We've seen Belmar miss a couple games. recently. Stastny was scratched last night, probably just to let a few nicks and knacks heal. I wouldn't be surprised to see Derek England sit a game or two in these last three. Maybe a guy, anyone else who may have a little bit of a bang, of a bump, you know, because you want this team at peak health going into the playoffs. Because I think last year, part of the reason.
Do you want Legassi to play one or two of these games?
I would have played him last night.
I think I would have too, and I'm a little surprised they're not.
Here's why I would have played him last night. I think had you played him last night and you win that game with Legassi in goal, I think psychologically it destroys a team that's already doubting that they could beat Vegas. And I think if Legassi goes in there and wins a game against them, I think that team has serious concerns about winning a playoff series against Vegas if they're losing to the third string goalie.
Yeah, well, no question about it. And again, I think it is a psychological advantage for them if they get him ready for this. And the Golden Knights, again, three games coming up. I'll be there at the final game. Thursday night is the final home game, and that will be against the Phoenix Coyotes. And again, I think it is. I think that's a big game because Phoenix is the best of the three games left on their schedule. Although I wouldn't mind seeing, I think Edmonton, whenever you're playing a guy like Connor McDavid, you want to work defensively on shutting a guy like him down. But I'm looking forward to the next three games and definitely to the postseason. I can't wait for that series against the San Jose Sharks. It's time for Blazing. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. Blazing brought to you Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a long three-pointer away from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every single day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, during football season, we are there every Monday night for Monday Night Football, giving away wings, party, replica jerseys, all kinds of things. And we'll be doing that again this coming season. Right now, joining us on the phone, Emily Van Buskirk. And Emily, of course, the communications assistant, social media coordinator with the Peoria Chiefs now, the single-A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals, formerly lead college football and basketball writer for Yard Barker. And all I can say, Em, is once again, this tournament, March Madness, is in full gear. As we saw, all the favorites kind of nestle their way in, other than Auburn in the fifth seed, into the Elite Eight. Now we're seeing the upsets happen. The number one seed, of course, Carolina, did get bumped off by Auburn. But last night, Gonzaga again goes down in the Elite Eight. Mark Few now 1 of 3 in his 20-year tenure, although Gonzaga's made the tournament every year of his 20-year tenure. He's 1 in 3 in Elite Eights. And Texas Tech and Chris Beard right now, like I say, if it's up to me, the Naismith Coach of the Year, just give it to him right now. Don't even wait till next week, right?
Absolutely. I've been telling people about this Red Raider team, you know, all year. I'm a Big 12 girl, you know that, and I've been watching them. I love Derek Culver. I think this was a huge game for them. But what it really emphasized to me is the importance that we're beginning to see of defense in these tournament games, because Gonzaga is a pretender. If they go cold and can't shoot, they don't have the defense to back it up and play with these big boys. So I love watching that game. I'm Red Raiders all the way. I can't wait for the Duke-Michigan State game today. I'm so excited.
It's going to be awesome. And while we are talking about Blazing, three things I have to mention in Blazing. We mentioned the first one, but I'll mention them again in a minute because we just came off hockey. I got to quickly give Alex Ovechkin the credit in the world. Got his 50th and 51st goal last night. It is the eighth time he has scored 50 goals in a season. You know, there's only two other players in front of him in history that have scored 50 goals more than eight times. That is Wayne Gretzky and Mike Bossy, the old New York Islander. They did it nine times. He is not showing any signs of slowing down. This is his fourth time doing it in the last 6 years. And he now, last night again, because he got two goals, 132 career multi-goal games for Alex Ovechkin. And it came against the President Cup winning Tampa Bay Lightning. I got to give this guy all the props. I don't love him. Me and Magnum got a chance to see him last year. One of my favorite things after the Stanley Cup Finals, we saw him walking through the catacombs of T-Mobile Arena holding the Stanley Cup. We both smiled. It was like an ESPN commercial. I'll never forget it. And it was one of the coolest things ever, Em. But the other ones I want to give, we just talked about Chris Beard. Two-time Big 12 Coach of the Year in his first three seasons, two Elite Eights, and now a Final Four. Again, I think he should win Naismith Coach of the Year, hands down. And wow, wow, UNLV, too bad. He did coach this school for 19 hours, the only undefeated coach in UNLV history. We got to give him props for that. And I also got to say, how can I say not close out Blazing M with a guy named Carson Edwards? Really sad that Purdue lost with this guy's performance yesterday, but two times over 40 points. The last time somebody did that was Bo Kimblick back in 1990. This kid was nothing short of spectacular. I know the errant pass at the end of the game is what he's going to remember, but I am going to remember watching one of the most spectacular performances I have seen in my life in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it was unreal, and it drew comparisons to, you know, Davidson, Steph Curry, which is obviously my Bay Area guy, so it was like watching him during his time at Davidson. But, you know, I'm in big boilermaker country out here in outside of Chicago, so a lot of disappointed Purdue fans. But to be honest, they did better than I thought they would. Usually you see Purdue basketball kind of blow it, and yes, that the errant pass, like you said, was kind of blowing it, but they played such a great, hard-fought game, and you got to give it up to Carson Edwards. It was historic. This whole tournament has been historic. It's been great.
No, I give it up to Carson Edwards. I give it up to Matt Painter at Purdue. I think he's done a phenomenal job. The best coach they've had there since Tom Davis, and before that, Gene Katie. He has brought back Boilermaker basketball to its peak there. They're loving it, and again, recruiting a kid like Carson Edwards. Thank you, Coach Painter, for allowing us to see the talents of this young man, because all I could say is I just kept saying, wow, wow. I must have said it 100 times last night during that game. It was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. It's just too bad that one of those two teams had to lose, because they gave us one hell of a show. And Virginia, yeah, kudos to Tony Bennett finally getting over that hump. I mean, after last year being the first ever number one seed to go out to UMBC in the first round, the number 16 seed, it was nice to see them recover. Nice to see for those kids to get another opportunity to go, you know, get an opportunity to go to the Final Four. It was nice seeing Dick and Tony Bennett embrace. I haven't seen that embrace since Tony Bennett was playing for Milwaukee, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and his dad was the coach there when they won a tournament game in the NCAA tournament way back, I think early 90s, late 80s. But either way, what a basketball game. I could say the same thing about the Texas Tech-Gonzaga game. What a great game. And Texas Tech, man, you know, I have never seen a defense, and I can't say never, we've seen these, but that defense is so disruptive. They challenge every possession. They slow down the game. They lull you to sleep. And the bottom line is they protect the paint as well as I've ever seen anyone. Chris Beard does not tolerate. He wants 100% effort every time you're on the floor. Every possession, he wants played like the last possession of the game. And the Red Raiders do that, man.
It's insane. And a lot of people want to give Culver a lot of this credit, and of course he's phenomenal, but really the team itself just holding Gonzaga. They missed 12 of 15 shots over 12 plus minutes. Just being able to hold an efficient team, a Mark Few coach team, to something that low is incredibly impressive, and I can't wait to see them. This is the first Final Four in school history, and it could be a national championship. No team has ever made it to the Final Four for the first time and then won it. But we could be seeing that this year with Texas Tech.
Yeah, it was incredible how many turnovers they forced Gonzaga into, especially in the first half. Like I said, Mark Few, you can't take anything away from this guy's tenure. 20 years at Gonzaga, all 20 years NCAA tournament appearances. That in itself is Hall of Fame all over it. He's got a top five recruiting class coming in literally from all over the world, so they're going to be just fine. And I would say, you know, they were the most efficient offensive team in college basketball. The problem is they ran up against the most efficient defensive team in college basketball. And, wow, to think that Chris Beard lost five seniors off last year's Elite Eight teams. They won 14 conference games in the Big 12. That is a record at Texas Tech, by the way. And, again, a guy that's won back-to-back now, Coach of the Year and back-to-back Elite Eights. Chris Beard, we're bowing down. And I know right now in UNLV everyone's hiding because Chris Beard is – as a matter of fact, coaches across the country, he has proven that you can – absolutely create and brand a program in 3 years, because this man has done it. Hats off to Chris Beard. We're just about out of time, as we always run late, but real quickly, your prediction for today's game. You've got MSU going up against Duke. Duke has literally been the epitome of survive and advance this year, but that's what they do. They've got the best college player in college basketball, and in C.J. Barrett, maybe two of the best. Throw Ja Morant in there, but those two guys are unbelievable. And Michigan State, you know, anybody named Cassius is the greatest there ever was, as we know. But wow, has Cassius Winston been unbelievable all season for Michigan State, the Big Ten Player of the Year. And I'll tell you right now, Duke will have their hands full with him, but then on the other hand, Michigan State's going to have their hands full with the monster that is the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a clash for the ages. I'm excited for this game, but honestly, I got to go with Duke. That's, you know, who I picked to advance. Surprisingly, my bracket's Final Four is looking pretty good right about now, but I think the big key to this Duke-Michigan State game is going to be Duke freshman point guard Trey Jones. He doesn't get as much recognition given how, you know, Zion Williams is the big star and you've got a lot of good guys around him, but Trey Jones is going to be the difference maker in this game today.
I'm not going to disagree with you that I think Duke's going to win the game too. I feel bad for Michigan State because, you know, Nick Ward, although healthy, re-hurt his hand. I don't know how bad that's going to be. And of course, if they had Langford all season right now, you add Langford, a healthy Langford, to the Michigan State mix in this game, and I think Michigan State could beat him, but unfortunately they don't have him, and I think they'll lose that game. On the other side, you've got Kentucky going up against an Auburn team that has closed this season as strong as anybody in college basketball, but yet is John Calipari take the two seniors and all of the diaper dandies and pull off a miracle, somehow beat Auburn, get to the Final Four? Does Kentucky really have a chance?
You know, Auburn has been a big surprise for me, seeing them, you know, get this far and watching them just kind of dominate North Carolina. That was unreal. But I like Kentucky this year because it is a different Kentucky team than we've seen. There's no big, you know, standout guy like we have at Duke. There's just a bunch of guys trying to play basketball for Calipari, and I like this team this year. And my boy Reed Travis from Stanford has been killing it, so I am pulling for the Wildcats. I think we're going to see them get to the Final Four.
Yeah, Reed Travis, transfer from Stanford. Exactly right. She is Emily Van Buskirk, and now living in Peoria, Illinois, as the communications assistant and social media coordinator with the Peoria Chiefs. I know, following college basketball, we always appreciate your input on the show. Em, you take care. Stay warm, and lots of as it gets into spring, make sure you got the off and the bug stuff, because the mosquitoes will kill you there.
Absolutely. We just got our roster in. The guys just got here last night, so I'm excited for Cardinals baseball to get started, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. Emily Van Buskirk, listen, we'll be right back. We're coming on the other side with Jim Gemma, from the media relations director for the Las Vegas Aviators, the AAA franchise of the Oakland Athletics, their first year in Vegas. We'll be back with Jimmy when we get right after this. About 6 minutes in front of the hour of 9 o'clock, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the 2018 Western Conference champion Vegas Golden Knights. Joining us right now, the media relations director of the Las Vegas Aviators, getting ready to open up their season this coming Thursday. They'll be in El Paso for a 5-game stint before they come home for the very first time as the Las Vegas Aviators, AAA franchise of the Oakland Athletics, and for the first time ever in their new ballpark, the Las Vegas ballpark up in downtown Summerlin. Jimmy, it's a pretty exciting time, my friend.
Brian, thanks for having me on. The players are en route over the weekend to get their things together, you know, housing and all that stuff, and they'll convene tomorrow. And then Tuesday will be media day at the Las Vegas ballpark. But like you said, the season starts Thursday, so it'll be the 37th season for us as a AAA team playing in the Coast League.
Jimmy, I can't wait. And the ballpark, is it ready to go? I mean, is there final touches? They still got a little over a week to put everything together. What else has to still be done?
Well, I'm sure there is. Obviously, we are in the process of transitioning in there ourselves as a front office. So they've done a great job. I was over there the other day. Grass is taken well into the ground. Obviously, it was installed March 12th to the 14th. The heat's helping a lot. So, yeah, I mean, there'll be stuff right up to April 9th. We go back on the road and give them, some extra time to really finish everything up.
Yeah, really, really cool. Jimmy, what is something that, aside from the obvious, what are something that people, when the first time they walk into the Las Vegas ballpark, do you think that is going to surprise people the most?
I think just overall, I do this time I walk into it, my jaw kind of drops a little bit. It's that awesome of a facility. The scoreboard, just the whole total package of the thing. Hunt Denta, HOK, Architects, and of course our ownership group, the Howard Hughes Corporation. They've really done a great job with this place. It's going to be a great showcase for professional baseball in Las Vegas.
Looking very forward to it. And what about this year's team? I mean, I've gotten myself pretty familiar with the AAA franchise, the New York Mets, who have been here for the past few years. But now we've got a whole new team. What do you hear about the style of play we're going to see this year down at the brand-new ballpark up there in Summerlin?
Well, I know the A's always make a concerted effort to field winning teams on all levels, especially Triple A. I mean, we have the roster now. Hopefully we can disperse it out tomorrow night. The A's are the major league teams playing right now, so hopefully everybody will stay healthy up there. There'll be a familiar name here, Eric Campbell, who's a veteran player, and you need players like that on the Triple A level. Eric will be here. He was with the Mets and with the 51s, but really the showcase player is going to be Sean Murphy behind the plate. He's one of the top prospects. And the pitching is looking really good. Veteran Jerry Blevin, he's going to be on the staff here, kind of has a insurance policy for the A's. So from top to bottom, it looks pretty good. But, Brian, on paper, everything kind of always looks good. It just depends what happens when we start playing on Thursday in El Paso, and we're going right into El Paso. And Padres got a great farm system, and they've run the Pacific Southern Division that we've been in for the last 4 years.
Going to be an interesting start. And, Jim, finally, last question. People that are still interested in jumping on board and getting some tickets to the Las Vegas Aviators season this year, what can they do? Where can they go?
Best thing to do at this point, starting tomorrow, is call our office number, 702-943-7200. And obviously the next best thing is to go on aviatorslv.com. You can purchase tickets, excluding the first game, on Ticketmaster.com. The box office to the ballpark will be open beginning on Tuesday, April 9th, where fans can walk up and buy tickets.
He is Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aviators. Jimmy, we appreciate you. Thank you. And we'll be talking to you next week before the home opener.
Brian, for having me on as always.
Absolutely. Want to thank Jimmy. Want to thank, of course, Mark Anderson, Emily Van Buskirk. Thank my producer extraordinaire, Chris Magnum Chapman and Jose Vellante, for helping out here and making Facebook Live possible. Hopefully we'll get Jose on the microphone soon as well. I'm Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studios. We're out. We'll see you next week.